This is Vatican Radio. The Republic of Ireland will hold a referendum on abortion in 2018. The referendum on the Eighth Amendment, which places the life of the unborn on an equal footing to that of the mother, is expected to be held in May or June of next year. The vote will decide if abortion should be legalised in almost all cases. Speaking recently in Dublin, the British peer, Lord David Alton of Liverpool, said that Ireland should uphold the sanctity and dignity of human life and reject the imposition of British-style abortion laws in the country.
I think it's a case often of the law of unintended consequences. It wasn't that 50 years ago when Great Britain decided to enact abortion laws that every person who was had malign intentions who voted as they did, but many of them believed that the law would only ever be used in the most extreme circumstances, in what are often called hard cases. Now, our experience in Britain has been that you can never contain these things, that once abortion is introduced, it becomes impossible to restrict. And I made the point that in these 50 years, there have now been 8,894,355, staggering number, 8.8 million abortions. Put another way, I mean, that's one every 3 minutes, it's 20 every hour, 600 every working day. And of course, 98% of those have nothing to do with any kind of hard case. They're done under the social clause.
So it's really a case of once a law changes, it's almost like opening the floodgates.
It's inevitable that when you change the law, that what becomes legal becomes normative and even right in people's imaginations. This is about the taking of the life of an unborn child. Let's be absolutely clear about this. Britain now has laws that allow abortion up to and even during birth on a baby with a disability. 90% of all babies with Down syndrome, for instance, are now routinely aborted. So this is where it goes once you start down this track. I think that what Ireland needs to do is to learn from all of our experiences. It's not just the sheer scale of abortion, though the number, of course, is that have been aborted in Great Britain is twice the current population of Ireland itself. So that should at least give people pause to think. But think of some of the other consequences. Conscience is subverted. So in Scotland, two Catholic midwives lost their jobs because they refused to take part in abortions, and they're not covered by the conscience clause of the 1967 Act that only covers doctors. And that's an outrageous situation, that someone who was called into medicine to act as a midwife should lose their job, the thing that they love doing, bringing babies into the world, because they're not willing to take the life of an unborn child. Or you think about the way in which people who hold pro-life views are now being no-platformed at illustrious universities, where here is free speech. So there's a subversive effect once you change the laws. It becomes like an ideology.
So what you're saying is it's harder to have an opinion, especially if it's not a popular opinion.
It is. I've seen this myself, that you get marginalised and you're criticised for daring to challenge the status quo. But how can you not challenge the status quo when you think of the sheer scale? One abortion every single 3 minutes. There must be practical, radical alternatives to the defeatism and violence that represents. So, I think in the Irish experience as well, when you think about Irish history, my own late mother was from the west of Ireland, was an Irish speaker, and of course came from a place that had been disfigured by the famine of the 19th century. And at that time, British policymakers, and I quote directly from Malthus, said a large part of the population of Ireland should be swept from the soil. And then people like Mary Stopes and the Webbs literally promoted eugenics and racist attitudes, singling out the Irish. And it's for those reasons as well that I think that Ireland should sit back and say, look, why would we want to introduce British-style laws here to achieve the very things that we have resisted and fought against for all these years? We've got to be positively pro-life. Both lives matter, the life of the mother and the child.
You talked about Irish history there and the courageousness of Irish people, and certainly in the past. I was wondering, though, do you think Ireland is more traditional than it lets on, especially with regard to issues like this?
Yes, I'm not sure it's a question of being traditional. I think it's because it understands its own story, and Ireland, therefore, has always been deeply affirmative of the right to life itself. And You can care about all the other human rights, and there are 30 articles in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, but none of them are worth anything whatsoever if you don't have the right to be born, the right to life itself, Article 3 of the Universal Declaration. So, I mean, I think Ireland gets that. I was really impressed, by the way, at the conference, not least by Katie Asco. She was the president of the student union at the University College Dublin, and she was recently removed from post because she refused to go along with the promotion of abortion on the campus. And she was the elected president, and they removed her from office. She is vivacious, she's brave, courageous. She represents for me all the very best things about Ireland.
You mentioned the word brave there. You have, of course, experience as a politician. Do politicians, therefore, have to be braver these days in standing up and being counted on certain issues?
Yes, I think that we go on a lot about people being PC, politically correct. We need a bit more PC, politically courageous people to speak out about things that really should not be conspiracies of silence. And I think men especially have been cowed into being silent because they're told, oh, we've got nothing to do with you. Well, it does have to do with men as well as women. It's often men who have forced women into having abortions. So finding alternatives to this seems to me the way forward. I think it's very interesting to look at Northern Ireland in this context because the original 1967 Act was never implemented in Northern Ireland, and it's still an abortion-free part of the United Kingdom. There are now 100,000 people alive in Northern Ireland, 5% of the population, who would have been dead if the 1967 Act had been implemented. And that's worth thinking about, too. But it was Mother Teresa who once said, for all we know, we've probably aborted the person who might have had the cure for AIDS. We just don't know what we do every day as we destroy life. During the conference, a lady called Abby Johnson came and talked about what it was like to work in an abortion clinic. She had worked in clinics, and she in the end could stomach it no longer. And it was deeply moving to hear her description of what it actually involved. You know, we anaesthetize ourselves to all this. We try to gloss over it, and we just have slogans like my right to choose and so on. We need to understand the reality of what is involved. You know, by 18 weeks gestation, a baby is about a foot in length, pumping for 50 pints of blood every day, no different from you or me, other than in size and weight. And what we do to the unborn child at that stage is just indescribable.
I mean, we do have Irish women who go across the water, as we say, to England to have an abortion because they can't have it in Ireland. I mean, what needs to be done to help women more, to make decisions, to give them more information, to help them make a decision that perhaps they can decide to keep their child?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And in Northern Ireland at the moment, the British government have tried to impose a rule to get around the law in Northern Ireland, to subvert the law, where the British government, will pay Northern Irish women £1,400 to come to England to abort their baby. Well, if they really believe in equality, and if they're against discrimination, why are they not offering the same money to women who go ahead with their pregnancy to help them through what might well be a crisis or difficult pregnancy? I mean, we had a young woman speak at the conference in Dublin at the weekend who had been told by all her friends, it will ruin your career, take the life of your child. And she was bullied, but other people got alongside her, and she was able to go ahead, have her baby, and she had the baby with her at the conference, and she said she's never been happier. The truth is, you can scrape the baby out of a mother's womb, but not out of her heart, not out of her mind. And so sloganeering about this is no good. We need to be a lot more affirmative of women. We need to provide radical alternatives based on love and care. You know, care and kill can never be used as synonyms.